You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford. Are you?
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And today we are talking all about Saturday Night Live. It is the 50th season, so we wanted to do a deep dive and debate the history of the show, talk about what it means to us. It's been an absolute institution for literally half of a century. So we brought on two guests who are very well suited to join us in this discussion. They are both returning guests. They have both put SNL in their own personal TV BFF criterias. Please welcome back to the show, Casey Jost and Remy Casimir.
Woo-hoo! Hi.
Hi, guys.
Been looking forward to this.
So excited.
I have maybe never been more excited about a recording of this podcast. I have really been looking forward to this one.
Dan, I have to say, you put in the work on this one. Dan Brown sent around a grid that he made of all of the eras of SNL with like all of the cast members, all of the like featured cast, the
color-coded.
Writers, the head writer, like color-coded. I was like, Dan, shut the fuck up. I love it.
Yeah.
A spreadsheet is so wild. It's too, like for something that's like just a fun thing that people do. Like I love people who do this.
Are these official eras though? Or like, did you decide?
So the name of the game today is I broke up the 50 years of SNL history into 10 5-year eras.
Okay.
So they're not official.
Yeah.
Like as determined by like the show or Lauren or anything like that. These are just kind of like an easy way that I thought to kind of break down the history of the show into, because going season by season, I think would be
crazy,
incredibly difficult. So I think breaking it up into 5 years is a better way to do it.
Maybe you could pop that grid down in the show notes so people can see what we're talking about.
Can absolutely do that. That's a great idea. So it breaks down to 10 eras. Later on in a little bit here, we are going to kind of collectively discuss era by era and determine if we think it is the best era of SNL, our favorite era of SNL, or the era that we would watch forever. And we're going to try and come to a collective agreement about what our shared criteria is. So I think should be really fun. But first, let's talk about SNL 50. We're recording this just a couple days after the big SNL 50 weekend. There was the big 4-hour concert. There was the SNL 50 anniversary show just this past Sunday. A lot of documentaries leading up to it. What did you guys think of all the fanfare, the hullabaloo, all of the stuff surrounding the big anniversary?
I mean, I was a little bit, like I was saying before we started recording, that like the marketing was like giving Wicked for me, because I was just like, it's just everywhere. It's, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll watch. Great. But I have to say that
I was going anyway. Stop yelling at me.
I know. I was like, dude, like obviously I'm appointment viewing. But I have to say that like I've watched all of the things and I loved all of the things. Like, it just really felt like, and I know like there's a lot to be said now about like how we form these parasocial relationships. I feel like SNL for many of us, maybe were like our first real parasocial relationships before the internet, you know what I mean? But like, how many of these people do I actually know? Like, absolutely none. How invested am I in every single one of their stories and journeys? All of them, like 100%.
Before Mindy Kaling had her book, I used to say about SNL, it feels like all of my friends are hanging out without me.
Oh, wow. Sure.
Like that is, it's very that vibe. But this weekend, I don't know how people stayed alive. Like people who were like actually involved and like working so hard. Like Casey and I both went to the concert. Even that, I was like, okay, I'm exhausted. so I just don't understand how they're actually physically doing it.
Yeah. And I want to hear about the concert, but you could see it on the red carpet. I watched the red carpet and almost to a one, all the cast members were like, I can't believe we have a show to do after this. Like,
Even just getting dressed for like an event.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you're so sleepy and then you're like, oh my God, I have to get changed again and I have to remember things to do. Like I put my hands up to them.
So I went to that, the music, well, the Radio City Music Hall show. And this whole weekend, my like it really rekindled how I felt as a child watching SNL. And for the best. And it made me just sort of, it has really taken me back. And I think the thing that did it the most was at Radio City, watching the like you know, the old clips of, you know, whether it's, it was like Pass the Duchy, like these old performances that I remember being so formative as a kid seeing, and then being surrounded by cast members. Cause I was like, I don't know where you were, Remy. Mm-hmm. Where were you in the at Radio City?
I was row 20, probably, like very close to the action. It was actually like unreal.
I couldn't. So it was different than being like starstruck or anything, because it's so bizarre, because it, you know, I haven't been to a lot of award shows, but award shows are, you know, they're obviously star studded, but it's like only present. It's like only people who have movies out.
Yeah.
Like, this was throughout time legends of like the biggest comedy franchise in history.
No, it truly felt like a homecoming. Mm. Like if you're like at a high school, but like every person who's ever gone to that school was there. Like the vibes were like immaculate. It was crazy.
And I like the way people talked about it too. It almost kind of humanized everyone in the building, because everyone there, and I wasn't there, but just like watching people talk about it and the experience of the whole weekend, the vibe to me was like, we're all just fans of the people we watched that came before us. So even the current performers, the people that are performing on SNL 50, they're all like, yeah, I'm here because I was the biggest Gilda fan, or I was the biggest, you know, whoever fan. So everyone was kind of just, we all shared, everyone shares that, just, we've been a fan of this thing for 50 years and let's all just kind of revel in that.
And everybody was so excited to take the same picture too of themselves with like the Saturday Night Live in the background. Like Nia, who wrote My Big Fat Greek Wedding, was like, could you take a picture for me? And I was like, yeah, obviously.
That was my favorite thing to do, is to like look around and see like what conversations were being had. And there was like one that was like Sasha Baron Cohen like wouldn't leave J.J. Abrams alone. I think that's so funny. Like he kept coming over to his section to talk, and they were like talking really close, like bros. And it was really funny, just like that. I was just like watching them sort of, I don't know, fall in love or something.
I watched Jerry Seinfeld get sick of a conversation with Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, and Martin Short, and he just kind of like walked away.
I love it.
And like put his hands behind his back, and my sister looks at him and she goes, are you uncomfortable? And he goes, yeah.
That's wild.
That's incredible.
I mean, I loved, as a fan of the show and a fan of a lot of people, I just love seeing all those famous people together. I was reading somewhere where they were talking about how the sketches in the SNL 50, it was like a fantasy draft of like who you want to be. Like, it's like, oh, of course I want to see these people in a sketch together. But like, I love that like everybody was brought together by SNL, because in a way that's it democratizes everything. It's like everybody's kind of the same when it comes to this show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like how they're reacting to the show. Like I loved it.
I actually did have a hierarchy of who I wanted to see there, or who I was excited to see. And it was really not your Tom Hanks or like Paul Rudd, who are great people. But I was more excited for, like, I saw Finesse Mitchell. Saw, you know what I mean? Like I saw Luke Null. What I mean? Like, it was kind of more fun to see some people that are like, you know, these stepbrothers and stepsisters of like that aren't your Kristen Wiggs and stuff. Like it was really fun to see that they were not only invited, they were like welcome. Like there was just like a cool row with like Sashir and Nassim. And like, it was just like really fun to see all these people who I like just as much as the other people in some ways. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I talked to John Lovitz and it made my life.
Tell me everything.
That's cool.
Okay. So I have this story has to do with him. And I went up to him and I was like, I have to tell you this story. And he's like, go on. And
really good.
I go, I was at a party in LA once at a house, and my friend had taken me, and I said, this is a beautiful house. Whose house is this? And he goes, it's John Lovett's house. And I was like, I love John Lovitz. Oh my God, like, where is he? And John Lovitz, when I'm telling him this, he goes, when were you at my house? You weren't at my house. And I go, well, hold on. Because eventually I found out that it wasn't John Lovitz's house. It was John Lovitz's house of Pod Save America. And I go, oh, I don't care about this party anymore. And then him and I talked for like 20 more minutes. It was like, it was so fun. He's so cool.
He's up there. He's really,
yeah,
he's had some incredible cameos. His cameo in The Wedding Singer is like one of the greatest
of all time.
I want to talk about the 50th, the special itself.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Like the thing that aired this past Sunday. Did we all watch?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
What did we think? Because I was watching with my mom and my brother, and every time I'm like, another banger. This is great. Like there was like no, it was like no, like an album with no skips. Like every single thing that happened, I'm like, oh, I'm glad that happened. Oh, that was very cool.
Yeah.
I like the amount of sketches that were actually performed, because I went back and watched the 40th and some clips from the 25th.
Yeah. What was the 25th like? I was trying to remember. I remember like the music more than I remember the sketches.
It was a lot. It was a lot of clip packages.
Oh,
that's what I thought too. And from like old stuff though. Like it was a lot of like early SNL.
Yeah, it was a lot of early SNL. It was like, here's Adam Sandler doing a bit with the writers for 3 minutes, and then they cut to a montage. It was a lot of montages. I think 50, I was like, this is mostly sketches. There's barely a montage to be had. And when they were done, I thought they were really well handled. Like the In Memoriam for sketches,
In Memoriam
that aged poorly was...
Oh my God.
That was great. I can't believe that was really risky to do it. And I think that's really... Yeah. I give them a lot of credit.
Yeah. I think it was really smart because it preempted all of those people who would be trying to get it canceled and being like, oh, SNL, like you think you're such shit, but like you did this years ago.
They got ahead of it.
So they were like, we did this years ago. And you laughed at it. So fuck you.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Also, to what really stood out to me, and what I mean has stood out for me in recent seasons of SNL, is that like you can really tell that the writer's room has changed and that there are lots of different voices in there now, because I'm sorry, the Black Jeopardy being sponsored by a plate, guys.
That was an unbelievable.
That was everything.
I wanted like, that plate so bad. It looked so good.
And the Who All Gonna Be There app.
Unbelievable.
Like, I was like, this is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really funny.
The best part of Black Jeopardy 2, Eddie Murphy doing Tracy Morgan next to Tracy Morgan.
He's so good.
Next to Tracy Morgan.
He was doing so good as Eddie Murphy did such a good Tracy Morgan that I was like, wait, was Tracy Morgan Donkey in Shrek?
And it wasn't the usual, like, I'm going to get you pregnant impression that everyone does.
Right.
It was really nuanced.
Yeah.
You know,
but to the point that it was so spot on that Tracy had to change his voice a little because he's like, well, this is weird. Like, we're just two guys with the same voice and same mannerisms.
Yeah. I will say the thing that I yelled out, everything was great, but I yelled the loudest when during Update, which was already great. I love Cecily and every character she does. But then Drunk Uncle came out.
Drunk Uncle's my favorite.
I love Bobby so much. He was there when I was there, when I was an SNL page. And he was just a really great guy. And that's my favorite character that he does. So when that came out, I got up off the couch and like yelled.
Same.
So I talked to my brother today, and I don't think he likes to like promote this on any sort of social media or anything. But he wrote 5 things off the show.
No
for
way.
This special. So he always used to write Drunk Uncle and Girl at the Party.
Oh my
so
God.
He wrote those 2.
Amazing.
He wrote Bill the thing with Bill Murray, the ranking.
Oh, nice. That's great.
He always used to write and continue to write Scared Straight.
Scared Straight was
I
great
love
too.
Scared Straight.
And he wrote all of the musical.
Wow.
The Mulaney musical.
That was so good. That was one of my favorite sketches of the night.
So he and Mulaney always used to write it. Together, or originally wrote it together, and so the first time when Mulaney hosted, they did the one that they wrote, and then they continued to write once. But this time Mulaney wasn't around, so he just had to write the entire thing.
And that was a long sketch with a lot of parts.
Yeah, and there was I think Bone was going to do the part that Paul Rudd did, and you know, switching it out. So he has to like manage like who's going to jump in and do things too, and like you know, and alter. But like he had to take that whole thing on himself, as well as he wrote, you know, Alec Baldwin's piece. You know, when he was holding up the third year veneers. That's brilliant. Also,
it was so good.
It's so accurate.
So good.
Yeah. So he had like a lot to do, and And I thought, I mean, I'm very biased, but like he delivered on all those. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I think most siblings would be like very hateful. So I think you're actually not biased. I love you giving
Colin his flowers.
Yeah.
He never takes them. Like he's never one to like, you know. Like,
throwing them at him right now.
Yeah. So I was like really, I talked to him today and I was like asking him all these questions. In fact, the way I got the transition into it was from the, I only watched the first of the Beyond, or was it Beyond?
The doc.
What's it called?
Oh yeah, Beyond SNL, the doc series. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I only watched the first one. So I can't wait to watch more. But there's something Bobby Moynihan says as he cries. He says, this is, you know, they told me this is the only thing people will ever want to talk to you about. And you'll talk about it your entire
life. For the rest of your life.
Yeah. Rest of your life. But he's like, I'm so happy about that. And like, I'm tearing up. But I said that to I told my brother that he said that. And he was like, oh, because he hasn't watched it. And he was like, oh, really? He was like, oh, that's nice. And then I was like, by the way, I'm going to ask you some questions about this. So I was like doing the thing.
Bobby crying in that doc was so cute. But also Bobby crying as drunk uncle makes me laugh so hard.
I know. What a performer.
It's my favorite thing.
Drunk uncle.
So I'm not Land Shark, okay? So I'm not Brian Fellows, Safari Planet, okay? So I'm not musical guest Timothy Chalamet. Cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger.
Right, yes, right, from the 70s.
No, I misplaced four cheeseburgers.
Okay, well, drunk uncle, I'm sorry, but I think you might be too drunk.
Yeah, I tried to tackle Paul Simon, but I missed, and now Sabrina Carpenter's dead.
Okay. Drunk uncle.
What did you guys think about the digital short, the SNL anxiety short?
Obsessed.
I loved it.
I didn't love it.
No?
It didn't hit for me. I think there's so much to live up to with it, especially because the 40th was Thanks for the Breaks. You remember that? which like I thought was unbelievable. Like was just a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like there's that thing. I ever heard this thing like where Tom Petty was asked to do a greatest hits. And they were like, we need you to do one new song. And he was like, I'm going to do a new song for a greatest hit. And then he wrote Mary Jane's Last Dance.
What?
Oh, unreal.
Or the greatest hits album. And you're like, that's Babe Ruth pointing at the hitting a home run.
Wait, that is like in Today I Learned. Because number one, like I love that song. I remember when it came out and like, because remember how cool the video was? Like we came out and stuff.
Big time.
And I remember, you know, at the end of the video, it tells you like the name of the album and the book. And I was like, oh, greatest hits. I was like, damn, they got some real bangers.
It's like in one of his docs. Like he was just like, I was asked to write, like they were putting together, it was contractually, I had to do a greatest hits. And they were like, we'd like you to do a new song. He's like, how can I do a song that's going to be on my greatest hits? And then he just knocked out. Like most people would be like, no. And he was like, let me try. And he writes, Last. It's crazy. So I don't even know what my point was. I think, for a little
bit. So you
Island,
love anxiety.
I liked it in some ways. And I've actually, it's funny, because Andy once told me, he told me this story. I don't know him that I've only been around him a few times, but we were talking about it, about poops. And he had mentioned how one time he was like, had nervous, you know, he would always have like kind of nervous poops before a show. And Sandler was next to him and was just like, saw his shoes and was like, Andy, you get them too, huh? Like in the Sandler way. And so he always thought that was really funny. So I think it's based on just that, like the fact that he probably talked to other people and everyone goes through the same thing.
I mean, I liked it. I was it their best song ever? No. Mm-hmm. Did I think the mix was a little off? Yes. Did I love like the kind of AI anxiety face effects? Not terribly, but I think what I loved about it is it spoke to that universal thing that I was kind of mentioning earlier, like no matter who you are, no matter how famous you are, no matter how long you've been on the show, it is the most anxious thing you'll ever do. It's like awesome and cool and celebrated it is. Like it's like I was there as a page for 12 episodes and it's still the most stressed I've ever been in my entire career. And I loved every second of it. Like those two things happen at the same time without fail every single show. Like I would get the nervous shits and I'm like, all I have to do is bring fucking Matthew Broderick upstairs to Lauren's office. You know what I mean? Like
it was very humanizing. And I think that was important too, because it was such a star-studded event that like, it's just like, we're not just the Hollywood elite. we've worked really hard to get here, and we're also like scared as fuck every time we get on stage.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. It makes it a little more inclusive to the
humanizing
audience.
Aspect, I think, is right. And that's yeah. why I liked it.
It's yeah. that's what I liked about it too. And I just like that, like, I don't know, like they look, everyone looks so put together and like they just got it. It's like, oh my God, you're so good at this. You're so good at this. And it's like, oh my God, like you almost shit your pants right before this because you're so nervous. And it's like, I love that for you.
Yeah.
And they included crew too. So it's like, it's not just the cast that's shitting their pants. Like everyone has IBS. And how wonderful is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I did love that too. Let's talk about these eras, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Before we get to eras, can I just give an honorable mention to Will and Anna doing their medley at the concert?
At the concert.
Yes.
That was the best sketch of that night for sure.
That was so funny and like obviously like fit into the musicality of it all, but like I wasn't at the Super Bowl, so to be able to like yell in a room of people A minor obsessed.
Anna is so talented and like
I forget she's such a good singer.
Such a good singer, and she was in so much of the
She was like the star of the weekend.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah. And she's just, and you know, she was always used a lot, but she's not even like, I almost feel like Sherry O'Terry was in some ways like the Kristen Wiig of that era. Mm-hmm. But Anna Gasteyer is so, you realize how many characters she has and like how committed she is. But I mean, both of them are so great. I would never, you know, I only compare them because they're like in the same era, but SNL's always been really good at having these like amazing women since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a great segue. Let's talk about the different eras of SNL and these different casts. So I just dropped it in the chat for you guys, but I did, as Brandy mentioned, I put together a grid of all 50 seasons, organized into 10 eras, each 5 seasons in length. So the first era is, you know, the original cast from 75 until the 79-80 season, and then the second era is from 80 to the 84-85 season, and so on and so forth. So I think we just, let's just start at the beginning. Like I said, we're gonna find a best, a favorite, and a forever, and we're all gonna try and agree, come to some sort of agreement on what that is by the end of this year. But let's just start one at a time, and as we go, like, shout it out. Do you think it could be best? Do you think it'd be favorite? Let's talk about why. Let's talk about the people that we love, the sketches that we loved. Then we get to the end, we'll kind of go back and kind of hone the list and we'll do it that way. Sounds good?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
All right. So era one is the OGs, the not ready for primetime players. It's the original cast, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Jane Curtin, Garrett Morris, Lorraine Newman, Gilda Radner. And then obviously Bill Murray joins in the second season after Chevy left. Immediately my brain goes to is on my short list for a best era, because without the originals, is there anything that comes after, right?
Mm-hmm. Which Sandler said in his song.
Yeah, that's right. It's a historic pick. Yeah.
For me, like, I really didn't get into SNL until I was maybe like in middle school. So we're thinking like early to mid 90s. And because I got to SNL in the 90s, there was no YouTube. Mm. So I couldn't really, the oldest stuff that I really watched would have been from like the late 80s, because I did like constantly watch the hour repeats that used to come on Comedy Central.
Right.
Same.
So I don't have, I feel like I don't have a good grasp on era one, because like I really wasn't watching those sketches. And like if I did see them, it felt like 70s TV.
I just think that like, there are so many like iconic things that even if you didn't watch them, you know who the Coneheads are, you know who the Bumblebees are, you know. You know what I mean? Like, you know all of
Landshark.
Yes, exactly. You know, Rosanna, Dana, and like all the Gilda stuff. Like it's
donuts.
So yeah. Cheeseburger, like all of that stuff.
I really liked that it really was like avant-garde comedy theater. Mm-hmm. And it set the tone of what the show would be forever. Like what it is now is still basically what it was then, with like some changes here and there, you know, with it, like it was outlandish. It was provocative. It was political.
Right.
It was progressive.
The importance of music, the importance of commenting on current events was all there.
guests they had were, you know, like with Pryor, you know, like it mm-hmm. was really just, it was next level. George Carlin, like it was this home base for freaks. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's gotta say something, right? That's, it was mm-hmm. it was so formative for every comedian sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my parents talk about it, like it was just the biggest change of, it was a culture shift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's up there with Star Wars.
I mean, my dad remembers where he was when the first episode aired. I was talking to him about doing this podcast. He's like, I remember where I was. I was with my buddy yeah. Stevie. We were in the common room with my, in college, and we all gathered around and watched the thing together. Like it was a phenomenon. You know?
My dad was in medical school, and he always, when we were growing up, he would make fun of how much TV we watched. And he was like, when I was in med school, once a week, I would give myself a treat. And that treat was always SNL.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's sweet.
All right. So for this era, I feel like it wouldn't be a favorite because we're not, mm-hmm. it wasn't our era. We weren't watching it. And again, this is going to be a list defined by, you know, for millennials. So that is what mm-hmm. it is. And it's probably not a forever either, just because I don't think everyone here has enough viewing experience yeah. with it to put it in a forever, but I'm gonna earmark it as a potential best. Does that sound?
If you watch it in a vacuum, like our parents did or the people at the time,
yeah.
it would be a forever. But sure. since we've seen so much comedy, like the game of the scenes have been heightened where yes. like I'll watch Era One and I'll be like, that's the game? Like the family is loud? yeah. But at the time, yeah, that's yeah. the game. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. What if a family was really loud? I love it.
Right.
I'm in.
It's true. Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite cast member of Era One?
I'd probably go Gilda.
I was thinking either Gilda or honestly, I've been kind of coming back around on Belushi.
Mm. I think like the duo of Belushi and Aykroyd stand out.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's Gilda Radner for sure.
Aykroyd's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I think mine is Bill Murray.
I love Jane Curtin.
Mm. Mm, yeah, Jane Curtin's awesome.
And I also like had completely forgotten about Garrett Morris, but when he came on the scene the other night, I was just like, oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Completely forgot that he was ever even on SNL. I was like, I love this guy. He's in so many things that I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love Jane Curtin.
Yeah, but I love Bill Murray too, more like for what he's done since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely for Ghostbusters and like his movies outside of, yeah, the movies outside yeah. of SNL are almost mm-hmm. overshadow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of why I go with Gilda because unfortunately it was a life cut short. So like-
She yeah. didn't have the opportunity.
Her legacy really is SNL. Like mm-hmm. that's where we see her now.
Yeah.
This past Thursday was the Great American Smokeout, a day that everyone in America was encouraged to stop smoking cigarettes for a 24-hour period. Here to comment further is Update health correspondent Roseanne Rosanna Dana.
Thanks a lot, Jen. Thanks a lot. A Mr. Richard Fader from Fort Lee, New Jersey writes in and says, Dear Roseanne Rosanna Dana, last Thursday I quit smoking. Now, I'm depressed, I gained weight, my face broke out, I'm nauseous, I'm constipated, my feet swelled, my gums are bleeding, my sinuses are clogged, I got heartburn, I'm cranky, and I have gas. What should I do? Mr. Fader, you sound like a real attractive guy. You belong in New Jersey.
All right, let's jump to Era 2. This is season 6 to season 10, ranging from 1980, 81 to the 84, 85 season. Weird era.
Mm-hmm. This is when Lorne was gone.
These are the 5 years without Lorne. The first season was run by Gene Dumanian, and then it did not go well. There's a whole new cast. Most of that cast got replaced again for season 7, and Dick Ebersol took over for the next 4 years. This is the Eddie Murphy era, however,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably like the shining star of this. You also get Joe Piscopo had a lot of success here. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on the show during this era for her 3 seasons. And then it ends. Season 10 is a really interesting one-off season because this was like the all-stars, the professionals. Like Dick Ebersol was able to bring in Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, and Martin Short, who are like established, mm-hmm. pretty famous already comedians, sketch comedians, to come on the mm-hmm. show for this kind of one golden year. So like in a vacuum, a lot of people say season 10 might be a top five season, but we're talking about this whole 5-year era that had a lot of ups and downs. So what do we think?
I would say this is the era that I'm least familiar with.
Same.
Okay.
Like it was news to me that Billy Crystal was on SNL. I like vaguely remembered that Christopher Guest was because like I have been obsessed with him since Waiting for Guffman. So mm-hmm. I made my business to like learn his life. So I knew that he had been on it, but like just looking around at this, it's like all the names that I recognize from other things like Mary Gross, great role in True Beverly Hills.
Ugh, what a troupe.
Christine Eversall, like network television.
The thing I'm amazed at, I'm just realizing, is that Martin Short was only on one season.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one season. That was it.
Yeah, that's it's like, wait, Martin Short was on SNL? Like, I gotta go find season 10.
So I am actually realizing I'm a bigger fan of the, I would have said the same thing, but I'm looking around and obviously I know all the Eddie Murphy sketches or most
right.
of them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of Joe Piscopo stuff. I definitely know the Martin Short stuff because I loved, you know, that character with his hair up and blanking on it, the name of it.
Mm.
The little dweeb.
It's basically just like Martin Short on cocaine.
Did he do Jiminy Glick on SNL?
No, that came later.
Okay.
But the character he did, which was...
Ed Grimley.
Ed Grimley.
Yeah.
I loved. And then I really liked the Christopher Guest digital shorts, which was mm-hmm. like the... It was that was another one that was like informed some of my comedy, like...
The one in the pool.
The pool. Yeah. Like that, just the tone of the one of like the men synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
It's so serious. And I think like... there's a lot of stuff I've seen since that is like that. And I feel like they're the first to do it. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, when am I supposed to laugh? I was a child, like, what is this? And then the more I watched it. Yeah.
This is also the weird era where there wasn't really a regular update, which was a staple in the first 5 years and has become a staple since. Mm-hmm. They kind of played around with that. They had a lot of different cast members do it. They had some hosts jump in there. Like there wasn't like, you know, era one, it was Chevy Chase to start. And then Jane Curtin was always there, sometimes with Dan Aykroyd. Era two didn't really have that. I hate to like throw like Eddie Murphy's like absolute standout run under the bus here, but this didn't really rate in best favorite or forever for me.
No.
Like, what do you guys think?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Same.
It's not his fault. He's great.
No, it's not. He's great. Yeah.
And they're great. But sometimes shit just doesn't work out. But I do want to watch more of it because I feel like I ignored it on purpose because I was like, if Lorne's not there, like how good could it be?
Right.
And now looking at this chart, I'm like, it could be pretty cute. Like I think people.
I would recommend like Google, YouTube, Eddie Murphy, sketch highlights and the season 10 stuff. And I think you'll have a really good time. Let's move on to era three, 85 to 90. Lorne's return, talking about that Beyond SNL documentary series. There's one whole episode about season 11, which starts mm-hmm. this era, the weird year.
The first year, yeah.
Where, again, full recast. He went very young. He kind of went more actor-focused instead of comedian-focused.
He got a gay guy.
Yeah, the first openly gay guy on the show.
Yeah.
Terry Sweeney. Robert Downey Jr. was there. Anthony Michael Hall was there. Dennis Miller, Randy Quaid, John Lovitz makes his first appearance. Speaking of not John Lovett, John Lovitz, of course.
My friend.
It was not a well-received season. But then in seasons 12 through 15, it kind of picks back up again and they kind of refigure it out. And then it becomes the new blueprint for the next, you know, 35 years. And then you get Dana Carvey, you get Phil Hartman, Dennis Miller's that stays, John Lovett stays, Kevin Nealon joins, Mike Myers joins towards the end of this era. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about here because you get a lot of those like
Jan Hooks.
Mm-hmm. Jan Hooks, you get
mm-hmm. Victoria.
Kevin Nealon, did you say?
Yeah, so like Wayne's World starts and all those Dana uh-huh. Carvey characters kind of and Mike Myers characters really get their start in this era. Phil Hartman stuff.
I feel like era three is like coming in hot as a potential for me. Almost favorite, but like it's hard to make it a favorite because I really am only favorited from like 87 through 90.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I definitely like the Phil Hartman stuff of this time mm-hmm. and his relationship with Kevin Nealon in this era, because it was before sort of like Farley and Mike Myers and all these people sort of took that over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so Phil, you know, this is like Phil Lovitz and Nealon are like, it's like Caveman and a Frankenstein yeah. mm-hmm. and all that, right? Like it was like that weird stuff. Yeah. Dana Carvey's like ruling the show in a lot of ways. Like
yes.
it's really funny. It's really big characters, funny stuff.
There's a deleted or like didn't make it to air sketch that is one of my favorites of all time from 88 called Nude Beach.
Oh, yes. I remember
Have
that.
Have you seen Nude Beach?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Bob. Hey, penis looks great today.
Well, thanks, Jack. Yours, too.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Ted. How's your penis?
Not bad.
Good. Good. Hey, I'd like you guys to meet Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Hi, guys.
Hey, pretty small penis there. You can pick a lock with that penis. Hey, that's okay. There's plenty of guys around here with small penises. In fact, Bill's got one. Hey, Bill, come on over here and show him your penis.
It's just such a funny, like, stupid, amazing sketch, which might make it a favorite for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't know if this would be a forever for me, but I think it has a favorite or best potential. Mm-hmm. I think turning the show around
mm-hmm.
maybe was even harder than launching the show in the first place. From everything that I've, you know, watched, it feels like that was the harder job that Lauren took on, was like, you know, this Phoenix Rising aspect of the show that was basically like
yeah.
dead as a doornail.
But like they really, between season 11 and season 12, like them made the change, like, this is a huge change. Like they just
huge
like
change.
They stacked their deck.
They stacked the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like and I would almost say that like from 1986 like on, like there have been very few huge misses.
Mhm.
Mm. Like looking at from era one to era two, like just the amount of change that was happening every year in the cast. Like there's always a few people that are kind of expendable. Like, yeah, like we don't really need them. But I feel like starting in 86, man, like I'm really not seeing any years that it's like, wow, how the fuck did that person get on?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But my biggest problem with era three versus the, which is coming up next, four, is that I think four is a better version of three. Like you get to.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Dana continues. Phil mm-hmm. continues.
Phil continues. Like, you know what I mean? It's.
Yeah. Like a lot of people just, they span both eras. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you lose Lovitz though. So you lose. Yeah. That's the ticket.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so, which is, you know, like, yeah, which it's.
But
it's,
also Lovitz is different. Like his comedy, like he doesn't fit in with the Phil Hartman, the Dana Carvey, the Mike Myers, I don't feel like, even though I do love John Lovitz.
Yeah.
But he's, it's
no,
a different...
I agree.
I think he did. I think he fit in with some of those guys, but I feel like he...
He doesn't fit in. That's why they put him in the American Girl Hotel or whatever the fuck across the street.
I kind of agree that like something starts to happen in era four, which I think we're transitioning into it.
Yes, absolutely.
Something starts to happen, which like I think it was... exemplified perfectly by the VHS I owned, which was The Bad Boys of SNL, which starts this era, which was a legit VHS I had, which showed like all like the Chris Rock, Farley,
Sandler.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, that
Spade,
crew
Schneider
just had an edge.
Mm-hmm.
They had, it had an edge. And I think three doesn't have like a true edge. Mm-hmm. And I think like era four starts like being funny and fast and young.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the people in the past were not young, but mm-hmm. actually, I don't know. Like I kind of feel like Phil Hartman was never young.
Like it's just like perennially 38.
No, him and Steve Martin and Will Ferrell. They're always like 42.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always, always. And even now I'm still like, I think Will Ferrell might be 42.
Yeah.
I also like era four. What's interesting about three and four, they both had the same individual head writer. Jim Downey was the head writer for straight 10 years, which is very rare now to see just one head writer listed.
Yeah, it's true.
Era 3, the update was consistent. It was Dennis Miller for those 85 to 90. But then in Era 4, you get Dennis Miller for a couple of years, but then you get the Kevin Nealon run, but then you also get the beginning of the Norm run, which might be my favorite, or the best, maybe not my favorite, but like the best update anchor to ever do it. So I think Era 4 just has so much going on in it.
Yeah.
I still am not sure it's a best, because I think both of these eras suffer from, it's just, it's a fucking boys club. I just don't think they gave the women enough to do.
That's what I think makes it, okay, not that... give the women stuff to do, but I think the boys club aspect of it all, leave the boys part out of it, it brought friendship into it. Like,
sure,
it felt like a very like cohesive, like, we're actually going to go out after this and hang out.
Yeah.
And like, that's where the, oh, my friends are hanging out without me comes from. Cause it's like, cause they're all friends. It's not just like them doing a job anymore.
It is kind of the first of the camaraderie. Like, the first season had some camaraderie, but it also immediately had beef. Like, right. Like, I feel like Chevy had beef with everyone in a weird way, like right at the gate.
Yeah.
I think that even like with like hosts like Steve Martin, I feel like they were sort of like, you know, it was people vying for attention. Whereas this was like, we just want to have fun and laugh on camera and behind the scenes.
Make fun shit with our friends.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, this is the, I don't really get from the last era. I don't get that from like, I can't even imagine like Dennis Miller and John Lovitz talking. I don't know why. They just seem very different. And it's actually, this era is weird that even Dennis Miller starts it, which I know that's like an unofficial era, but I love Kevin Nealon's run on Update. It's
that's my wife's favorite Update run.
Yeah. That's my wife's favorite too.
And I also think Bill Simmons said there's a Wayne's World rewatchable. And he says that like your favorite SNL cast is whoever the cast was when you were 13. And yeah, I was like,
Amy Poehler said that too.
I think that that really tracks that, because like, because I feel like 13 is around the age when it's like you really start to, it's like, this is like, I know these are my own things that I think are funny. This is what I think is funny. And it might be the same as what my parents think is funny. And luckily, like my, parents have always really enjoyed comedy, but like they were never SNL people. Like they were, they loved In Living Color. They love Mad TV, but like never, like I feel like the SNL was something that like I watch.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting though, is this era, this was the first era that the press really came after the show. And they're like, this is young. This is sophomoric. This is not funny. This is not good. Like all the baby boomers in the press who grew up on the 75 and 80 show did not like the early 90s at all. And this is where you saw Mad TV pop up and In Living Color and all these shows to kind of like shove SNL off its square a little bit, because the industry felt like there was an opening because it looked down on what was happening. Now we look back 30 years later, like, oh yeah, that was an absolute one of the golden eras. It's, I mean, Era 4 is the first one I jotted down that could be a best or a favorite or a forever.
Same.
You know what I would say to those critics is, you ever meet a hater who's doing better than you? Never.
Never.
Like, I think they were hating on it because it was good and they didn't know how to fully digest it. And I also just read the, what your favorite is being when you were 13. It's either what was on when you were 13, or it was the box set that you owned.
Right.
Or that like somebody showed you when you were 13.
What you were watching at that age. Exactly.
Yeah. It's not necessarily like the cast at that time. Because I think for a really long time, like I was like, oh, it's Chopping Broccoli, 100%.
Right.
Because I own that, so I could watch it a million times.
Yeah. Can you pick a favorite cast member from Era 4?
Oh, that's really tough.
That's really hard.
My 12-year-old's heart probably says Adam Sandler. But then it's also Chris Farley.
I don't know. I feel like my heart to me says Dana Carvey. I've just always loved everything about Dana Carvey.
Me too.
But Adam Sandler. I loved Adam Sandler.
But I also love Adam Sandler because we share a birthday and he's a musical comic. And I'm very into musical comedy.
And I think my favorite part of SNL is Update. And I think he was the first one to really like change the way Update was done. Like really like... go in on Update characters and have recurring, not, I mean, recurring Update characters have always been a thing, but he like used it in a new way. He was in sketches, but he was, I think, like, if you look at his ratio, his update appearances were probably stacked higher than most in that era or any era before.
Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have 8 crazy nights. But when you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do Kirk Douglas, James Caan, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish and Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew.
This is a crazy era. Just the fact that like Mike Myers is doing, he's doing his shit, which is like so crazy. Sprockets, all that stuff.
Sprockets is a favorite 100%.
And it's so different than from like what Farley and Sandler are doing,
yeah.
But it all meshes. So it's kind of really beautiful that there's like so many different voices fighting each other as friends mm-hmm. to get stuff yeah. on. But I don't always get the feeling that like Mike Myers and David and Adam Sandler are like friends.
No, I think Mike came early. It was Mike and Dana, and then like the new kids showed up, you know?
Mm-hmm. I forget how long Tim Meadows was there. I know that was like a joke sometimes.
But, like, but it's now, Kenan's been there longer.
Tim was great. Tim is really,
Tim like, is really good.
I love Tim Meadows. I Me think he too. Was... He's sort of this like fun, underrated. I always used to like put like a dream cast together. And mm-hmm. I think I always had like Farley, Tim Meadows. I had a lot of people from this. Yeah. It was like always like Farley, Tim Meadows.
Yeah.
Phil Hartman's always going to be in there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this, guys. Let's put a pin in this. It feels like Era 4 is going to be in the conversation.
I think it might.
Yeah, Era 4 is in my fave conversation. Yeah.
It could go almost anywhere. So let's put a mm-hmm. pin in that and come back to it. Era 5, late 90s, season 21 to 25. The 95-96 season to the 99-2000 season. This is where Will Ferrell shows up. He shows mm-hmm. up in season 21. This is also where, like, you know, Molly Shannon, Sherry O'Terry, Anna Gasteyer all show up.
Anna Gasteyer.
Tim Meadows continues throughout. Tracy Morgan shows up.
This is, it's great. It's everything about this is great.
This is the first season that I watched live because I was old mm-hmm. enough at 5 years old. So these were like really like my intro people.
Yeah.
And I remember being confused at the time about Update because I was like, is this the real news? Like, why are people laughing at the news?
I kind of remember that too. Yeah, that's so funny. I do kind of remember being confused by mm-hmm. Weekend Update and feeling like,
is this real news?
This is different. It looks like news, but it's not. Like, you know, you're just too young for satire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were talking yeah. about the folks that you were on when you were in your, you know, early teens, like this was it for me. You mm-hmm. know, I was 13 in 2000. So this was like 11, 12, 13, staying up late to watch it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, watching the box sets of Sandler and Farley from the previous era. So like these two eras for me are like bold, highlight, underline. I would be mm-hmm. happy with either of them getting in. I think mm-hmm. that there is a lot of like, they hit the same nostalgia buttons in some mm-hmm. way, even though they are, the casts are very different.
But you were old enough to know that Harry Carey wasn't a real guy.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, this guy is crazy.
I love that character.
Hi, now Ken, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser. I would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you?
I'm confused.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
Molly Shannon and Chris Parnell look like they haven't aged. Parnell almost looks better. Like Parnell's kind of hot now.
That's the word on the street.
He really had a glow up. And
the hair is working for him.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Molly too. Like I was never like a person that would be like into Molly Shannon, but then at the 50th, I was like, she looks great.
Yeah.
I was like, I kind of think she looks really hot.
She's another 42 forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally.
Oh, I don't know. Mary Catherine Gallagher wasn't 42. Come on.
Fair.
See, was so young that she was.
No, I love this era though. I mean, like, we haven't even talked about Will Ferrell. This is like the golden age of Will Ferrell.
This is the time.
Like,
He might be the GOAT, right? Like, he might be the SNL GOAT.
I think he is the SNL GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
who would be in the running for that?
I don't know. I mean, because what he does is what he does the show. And the only other person that comes to mind is I really think Kate McKinnon does the show exactly the way the show should be done.
Mm. I thought that way about Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig too.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig as well. Yeah. There are certain people that come along that do the show, whatever, take away everything they do afterwards. Right.
Yeah.
Someone comes along and does the show better than it, like, you know, just the way that the show should be done.
I pulled up, I sent this to you guys. This is the Vulture article that surveyed, like, I don't know, freaking 30, 50 people. And one of the questions was, what cast member do you think best represents the spirit of SNL?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell was at the top. Kenan Thompson was right underneath. And then it went Gilda, Dan Aykroyd, Phil Hartman, Maya Rudolph, John Belushi, Dana Carvey, Kristen Wiig, Chris Farley, Bill Murray, in that order. Mm-hmm. And that's from the people who were involved in the show. So Will Ferrell at the top of that list. I think this, again, this is another one that I was like, it could be best or favorite or forever. I think that if we're comparing era 4 and era 5, I think 5 skews more best and 4 skews more favorite to me personally.
For me, era 4 skewed more favorite. Era 5 for me was more forever.
Mm. I could fuck with 5 and forever. I wouldn't mind that.
I don't even know where I'm at with it all yet. Like, I'm still kind of working on it. Like, I'm trying to just like absorb it all.
Yeah.
And think about it. This was obviously huge for growing up for me. And like, I just like everybody on it. I think I almost think the writing is stronger in this era than it is in some other ones. It's
And let's call out some of those writers. You have Fred Wolf, Steve Higgins, Tim Herlihy, Adam McKay, and Tina Fey is the head writers throughout this era, which is, I mean,
pretty good.
That's awesome. And I also love the fact that whereas the previous era, there was one head writer and these people weren't all head writer at the same time. There was a mixture of, like, you know, pairs and trios, but I like opening up that roster a little bit more and having more voices in the room and stuff like that.
This era makes you feel like you're in very good hands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like every episode you just go in being like, it's going to be great.
And also here's something we haven't talked about because we're only talking about the cast here, but when we're talking about forever, we need to be thinking about hosts and musical guests as well. And I think this 90s stretch, the specific 95 to 2000 stretch might be one of the best for both of those aspects.
Well, this is obviously like Beastie Boys for musical guest, I think would be in this.
Aerosmith for musical guests.
Yeah.
I guess Nirvana had already played.
Nirvana was Air 4. Nirvana would have been an Air 4.
Backstreet?
Backstreet would have probably been an era 5.
NSYNC and Britney, they're all coming out the end here.
Yeah. Christina's, like I think Britney and Christina's first was in season 25. So you're getting that late 90s.
Did the Spice Girls ever do musical guest?
100%.
You think so? I don't remember it.
The Spice Girls?
I feel like I would have seen that.
Season 22. So era 5, Spice Girls were on with Rob Lowe in season 22.
Cool.
I don't know. I'm going to put an asterisk next to Era 5 for my first forever, you know, potential, I think.
Agreed.
I'm with that.
All right. Let's keep it moving because we're halfway through. All right. Let's move from Era 5 to Era 6. We are now in the 2000s. Mm. So this is...
Cisco is hosts every episode.
Exactly.
I think Era 6 is, I love everything about Era 6 and it could go into either BF or F.
It was all over the place to me, guys. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's great.
The thing with this era, again, like you get, Will Ferrell's there for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have the introduction, Jimmy Fallon starts, you know, Tina Fey starts.
Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, Daryl Hammonds.
Amy Poehler.
Horatio mm-hmm. Sands. But a lot of these people continue through into Era 7. Jimmy Fallon does not.
Yeah.
Tina Fey does only for a year. So this is really like the Tina and Jimmy era, mm-hmm. I would say. This is also the post 9/11 era, which adds mm-hmm. a bit of thorniness to it. Like the world changed in a huge way during this era, and the show changed accordingly, I would say, you know. Mm-hmm. You had mm-hmm. the big moment of the Rudy Giuliani, you know, Mr. Mayor, can we start being funny? Can we be funny now? Why start now? Like,
yeah.
Iconic moments.
It's a good joke.
Big stuff. It was a great joke. Big stuff happened. But you're right, Casey. Like, upon further thought, it might be a little bit more up and down. What are your thoughts on that?
I remember becoming a Rudy Giuliani stan because of it.
Yeah.
He hosted.
And that should take it out of the running. Because that feels weird now.
It does feel weird.
I was like 11 years old being like, I love Rudy Giuliani. The fact that he put on a dress to make us laugh, amazing.
Well, you get a lot of Ferrell and Dratch sketch, which is like they were always really funny. The awesome. Lovers.
Yeah.
Like you know, there's a lot of really good, you know, people here.
The thing with this era is it's very Jimmy Fallon heavy, and he's always been, and I apologize for people who love Jimmy Fallon, he's one of the most overrated cast members in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The breaking was just incessant. I can't name.
I loved it.
I mean, I like it when it happens like every once in a while, but he was like every fucking episode. He would laugh at something. I'm like, lock it in, man. Like,
he's just a little giggly boy.
Yeah. And that's
living his dream.
That's not my favorite mode, though. You know?
Yeah. Like,
the truth is, like, I think Faye and Poehler as update hosts, like, this being the birth of it, gives that, I think, is maybe its strongest, aside from probably what Will Ferrell was doing. But
right.
I think the strong, and Will leaves.
It's very much a transitional era. It's a transitional era. People leave and people join. And it's very much a turnover era.
I bet you this has incredible fake commercials.
Mm.
I think you're probably right.
Because you have Seth Meyers writing on it. Like, there's just a lot of really strong. Tina wrote incredible.
Mom Jeans is in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's good.
But I think looking at this era, you get excited because of how many names get introduced. Mm-hmm. That you're just like, oh, I love those people. But then they more come into their own in Era 7.
In Era 7.
That's what I think.
I think so.
Yeah. I think I'm ready to go to 7. I'm like excited for it.
Era 7 is the third era that I underlined for best favorite forever.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at 32 to 35. 32 to 35, the cast is pretty consistent. And also what I love, it's not an overly large cast. Like, if you look at this cast, like Armisen, Hader, Forte, Hammond, Myers, Poehler, Rudolph, Sandberg, Tudeikis, Keenan, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
No skips, all bangers. And that was the cast, you know?
This is solid. This is unbelievable.
And also, like, Andy Samberg coming onto the scene, like, the Lonely Island stuff is great.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Lonely Island era. This is the explosion of the Lonely Island.
It's amazing, and I feel like, I don't know, like, because I love the Please Don't Destroy Guys now, but, like, obviously, like, Lonely Island walks so they can run, but, like, I love Lonely Island. I love, this was also, was this Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. This was the Obama election as well.
Obama election, yeah.
One of their best elections ever.
I don't know. I just feel like everybody was... I feel like the cast is most stacked in Era 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty undeniable.
I'm just such a Lonely Island girly forever, but this era also, it's like bringing back, again, the friendship aspect.
Yes.
Like, you really felt like this was like a cohesive group of people that like were having so much fun and also making different enough stuff. It was just like a nice buffet of comedy, of different types of comedy.
You're so right. Because similar to how I felt earlier when I was saying like Mike Myers and Adam Sandler.
That's exactly.
Forte is so fun.
So weird.
So like there's that sketch, one of my favorite sketches of all time, which was one of his Groundlings auditions, like for the Get on the Show, was the spelling bee.
Mm.
That's, to me, that was, that broke me on a level that I was like, I didn't even know you were allowed to do this. I didn't even know that this was a way to be funny. It's so funny.
Could you repeat the word, please?
The word is business.
Business.
The Will Forte sketch for me that is guaranteed, I think I sent this to you guys, is the one where he's the coach for the
incredible
basketball team.
Yeah.
And he just dances the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like there's basically no writing. It's like 3 minutes of just him being a psycho dancing.
Yeah.
So funny.
And that was another like, oh, you can do this? This is a sketch?
Yeah. The sketch with him and Sudeikis is the ESPN Classic commentators.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Stink. Oh, that gets me every time.
John Bovee. John Bovee as an update piece is like one of my favorites.
I'm also going to drop in here and also say now that this was my season that I worked at SNL. Oh. This was my era. I was there for season 35, 2009 to 2010. The very, very end of this era. But I mean, again, like I mentioned before, like the best 5 months maybe of my entire career. And it happened 15 years ago.
That's awesome.
And Remy, to your point, like, and like, I still can't believe it happened in a lot of ways. Like your whole thing, like my friends are hanging out without me. I actually got to hang out with
those people.
Yeah. I remember, you know, like Bobby Moynihan would always, you know, we'd do Jameson shots at the after parties and I'd go and get burgers and fries for Keenan and his crew between dress and air from the burger joint every Saturday. And he'd always give me one. And then if I saw him at the after party and he was sparkling up, he'd give me the little nod and
amazing
smoking cigarettes with Jenny Slade. And then like finding Big Terrific because we chatted about it at an after party once. And then, you know, going to that comedy show for years after.
That's like, so cool.
This was such a formative year in my life, in my career that like, I am going to stump very hard for this one to be in our BFF criteria. And I'm happy to, that it sounds like I won't have too much pushback on that, I feel.
Yeah, no, this is also the era of Rick, the stepdad with Amy Poehler. Rick, yes. Rick, cover for me, cover for me, Rick, which is one of the most quotable sketches. And then at the end of it, there's Jenny Slate doing the doorbell sketch, which is another one. I don't know if you guys have
her
seen.
Her one and only season. Yeah.
Yeah, her one and only season, but very memorable. Doorbell. Answer your door. Like, it's so funny and so weird. They're all such different things that happened.
Yeah. And also, Casey, isn't this when Colin was really getting involved as well?
Yeah. So Colin started the same year as Sandberg and Hader. And it was Sudeikis' second year because he had was a writer the year before.
Okay. So he started season 31.
Colin. He started season 31 and he shared an office with Keenan.
That's awesome.
And like I went, this is the first time I went to, you know, after parties and, you know, like just occasionally.
Sure.
And so I also have an affinity for this cast because not only did I love it, but I also like for the first time, which I you know, I have a different relationship with SNL starting here, you know, for like, you know, like being so proud of my bro for, like, his first show he got a sketch on, you know, so like cool. he came out the gate. I think Sudeikis talked about this too, and it's a similar thing where it's like he got a sketch on the first show and the second show and then nothing on for the rest of the season. I think came out swinging with like what was like a sketch the first two and then had like a couple of weeks off.
Sure.
But like, yeah, I mean, I remember all these, like this, I watched every single episode multiple times because I wanted it to go well for him.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a different sort of thing.
And we get intro to Bill Hader and Rachel Dratch is still there, which is really nice. So it still lends her to this era.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, and he started in Era 6, but I think one of the most, and we've mentioned him a couple of times, but Will Forte. And this was also in the Vulture article. They're like, who's the most underrated cast member? And he was in the top three in that conversation. Like he was so kind and so nice, but so fucking out there and would always go for it. I remember, so I was at the SNL, like the desk, like right outside the doors to 8H. And our job was to like sit there in our page suits like Kenneth and like, you know, run scripts and bring celebrities up and, you know,
Saratoga water.
Yeah. Here's, you know,
always that Saratoga glass water bottle.
Yeah. I remember, spending an hour and a half trying to find Dunhill Blues, a specific sort of cigarette for John Hamm when he hosted. But like one of the memories that sticks out above all was someone brought in cupcakes and there was like two left and they just sat on the desk for like most of the day. And like after like the third hour, Will Forte just kept coming back and forth and he kept saying like, save me one of those, save me one of those. And he would never grab it. He just every time I walked by, save me one of those. Don't let that go. And then like right before the show, he finally comes up. He's like, you guys got my cupcake? And we're like, yeah. And he just punches it. Just absolutely flattens it on the desk and just keeps walking, kind of licking his knuckles as he goes. Didn't say a word.
It's a good bit.
That's Will Forte for you, you know?
That's so funny. It was definitely a Magnolia cupcake.
I'm sure. I'm certain.
Right there. It's right there.
I'm with you guys on Era 7. That would have been... because I've been to SNL twice, like once I went for a dress rehearsal, once I went for like the show, because my roommate used to work on 30 Rock.
Oh, that's right.
And so sometimes we could randomly get in. And I remember it was like I went on. Zach Braff was the host. Maroon 5 was the musical guest. Fun fact. In college, I hooked up with a guy in Maroon 5, not Adam Levine.
Whoa. One of the redheads?
Not Adam Levine division.
No, not Adam Levine. And I think that it was the drummer, but after they like went, like, I don't think he was the drummer after they got famous.
Oh.
He was the drummer when they came to Athens, Georgia to my karaoke night.
The Pete Best. the Pete Best of Maroon 5. Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, so at the after party, I'm like getting food at the buffet and the guitar player from Maroon 5 is staying next to me. And I was like, you guys did a good job tonight. He was like, I recognize you. And I was like, do you? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, you came to Athens, Georgia once and I may have like really thrown myself at the drummer of the band. He goes, oh my God. And you took him home. I was like, that was me.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I love that I'm randomly at this SNL after party with the guitars from Maroon 5 discussing a hookup that I had like 10 years previous.
Wait, Dan, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I played a page on 30 Rock.
Did you?
During this era. So we were pages in the same era.
Look at that. Yeah. I love
this
that.
This is crazy.
It's all coming out.
That's incredible. All right. So we're gonna strong bookmark in Era 7. Mm-hmm. I feel like this will be in the criteria some way, shape, or form.
Favorite.
Let's move on to our last three here. Era 8. This is the first one where we have Colin Jost as head writer, along with Seth Meyers, Rob Klein, Brian Tucker. Continues a lot of the cast from Era 7, continues into Era 8, your Armisons, your Bill Haders, Seth Meyers.
But we get so many good people in this era.
This is wild.
Vanessa
Taryn.
Vanessa Bayer. Yeah. Okay.
Taryn Killam.
Underrated. Vanessa Bayer, so underrated. Love her.
Yes.
A.D. Bryant. Kate McKinnon. Guys, I can't believe Kate McKinnon hasn't always been in my life.
Yeah.
Beck Bennett is another underrated for me. I think Beck, he's do it all.
Beck and Kyle, the two of them, I think really, they were the first ones to pick up the torch from the Lonely Island guys. And I think did it.
But I think Beck did more than that. You know what I mean? Beck, I feel like, picked up the torch from a lot of people. Like, he kind of had to be the next, you know,
straight man
sketch guy. Like, you know, like almost, he's almost like more akin to like your Sudeikis, Will Ferrell. Like, he's a facilitator. He could really bring the
like,
heat.
Like a, like a Hartman, Daryl Hammonds, like just kind of glue guy, glue guy energy. Yeah.
And he didn't, it's not like he started that way. He started, they started like, oh, maybe they could facilitate that, that digital short spot, which like he had, he came from that background, but then he ended up being like a go-to guy.
I agree.
Can deliver lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jay Farrow enters, incredible impressionist.
Jay Farrow's so good.
Mm. Yeah, this is crazy.
The thing with this era, when we were talking about those 90s eras where it was like that one, I think it was era three kind of morphed into four and four was a stronger era. I kind of feel this way, but opposite. Where era seven was stronger and there was a lot of things that morphed into eight. But if we're comparing seven versus eight, I'm going to go seven over eight, if that makes sense.
I think they also hired a bunch more people in eight that like immediately didn't work out, you know?
Yeah. And some like we love now, like Tim Robinson, we love now, but didn't quite work, you know?
Yeah. He wasn't ready for, they weren't ready for what he had to give.
He wasn't ready for prime time. That's right. I don't know. Any other thoughts about this era? Because I mean, it's a strong era. This is where Update shifts to mostly solo Seth. And then Cecily jumps in there for a little bit. And then Cecily and Colin start. And then it finally cements with Colin Jost and Michael Che for the last season. And they've been the stalwart since. I think the longest running duo, the longest running host in the history of the show, which is really cool. Yeah. But that starts in this era. I don't know. What do you guys think as far as like BFF potential or other just memories or fondness for this era?
I think it makes me sad because it's when Sudeikis left and Sandberg left. And so...
And Kristen leaves. There's a lot of departures.
And Kristen... there's a lot of... Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was... Yeah, it was a transition into... And I think it was rocky at first with this cast, but then I think you're 80 Bryant. Like, you get these personalities that you kind of like fall in love with on a new level that like, I feel like I know 80 Bryant and like... Vanessa
Bayer. This feels like this cast is transitioning us into the modern era that we're in now, SNL, that we have been in since like the 20 teens. You know what I mean?
Right.
Vanessa and Taryn doing J-Pop America Fun Time Now. Probably one of my favorite sketches of all time.
Welcome to J-Pop America Fun Time Now, celebrating Japanese culture, fashion, and music. I am Jonathan Kavanaugh-san.
And I am Rebecca Stern Markowitz-san. Before we begin, it may be shocking to your ears to hear that Jonathan-san and myself are not actually Japanese.
No one thinks you're Japanese.
This is, of course, our honorable Japanese studies professor, Sensei Mark Hoffman-ru.
We are Sensei Mark's favorite students.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say you're my favorite. You're definitely my loudest students, as well as the worst.
So perfect.
All of Vanessa's characters on Update, like, and just
the bar mitzvah
her,
boy.
Yeah, like her Miley Cyrus impression.
I mean, even what she did with Armisen on the 50th, the Friends from Growing Up.
The Friends from Growing Up.
All-timer.
Perfect.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always really liked Vanessa. Like, I just think she's got, like, she does it different in it. You know, like, it's funny. SNL always, like, has these people that come along and you're like, you do this whole thing a little differently, but I like it. Mm-hmm. Pete's like that too, Pete Davidson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pete almost feels like he should have been in the far, like the Sandler, Chris Rock era. Like he's like a weird stand up.
He would fit in so well.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm a Chad fan.
This was also the era of like the weird and awesome Mike O'Brien shorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like this was a very, again, like a transitional, somewhat experimental era in a way.
Bobby's still holding it down. Bobby and Keenan still like, you give them a line in a sketch. When it cuts to them, they're going to nail it.
Also, Cecily shows up. Cecily Strong, one of my absolute favorites.
Love. I also didn't realize that she was on for 10 years until this weekend.
Let's transition to nine, because I think that transition aspect of eight, it kind of lands with nine, where you have now like, it's Vanessa, it's Beck, it's 80. you know, Colin and Shay and Update,
mm-hmm.
you know, Cecily, Shashir.
And with Nine, like, this was the, is this the first time that it's really stayed like this kind of very core cast over this many seasons?
Feels like that.
Yeah, this is a very solid era. Not as much transition here, I would mm-hmm. say.
This is really transitioning into the modern era, obviously, because mm-hmm. it's but I think this is when Colin and Shay start doing like joke swap, which is yes. like becomes mm-hmm. a big
so
thing.
So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kate is still holding it down, but she doesn't stay. No, she stays this whole run.
She's in this whole run.
We have Kate this whole run. We have Cecily this whole run. We have Heidi Gardner joins.
I love Heidi Gardner.
Bowen Yang joins at the very end here. It is the Pete Davidson era. He's here almost throughout, I think four of the five anyway. Yeah, this is like the most recent great cast, the most recent great era, I would say. So like
Mikey Day comes into play here. He's another mm-hmm. one of my favorites.
Chris yeah. Redd, awesome.
And Keenan just constant. Just Keenan.
Keenan's like furniture.
Yeah.
That acts really well.
Yeah. Furniture yeah. with the best cut to face ever. Cut uh-huh. to Keenan always gets
you cut
laugh.
To Keenan. Yeah. That's that I think that's where yeah. like that's where like 80s are great at cut to and Bobby Moynihan's great mm-hmm. at cut to them.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson too. That's like there's people you cut to that are always gonna kind of deliver and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who like in the modern cast, I don't aside from Keenan. I'm not sure who else can like knock it out of the park the way.
Yeah.
Andrew Dismukes actually.
Dismukes. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. He always surprises me like the way he could take a line. Okay. But going back to this one.
Yeah.
This is good. This is Trump, right? This is Beck Bennett doing, what's his name?
This is the Trump era for sure.
This is Beck Bennett yeah. doing
Mike Pence.
Pence yeah. with the fly.
this is Baldwin as Trump for a lot of it, right?
Alec yeah. Baldwin
if you look at a photo of my dad, it looks like Baldwin's Trump. It's really, it's really crazy. Like there's something about the way Baldwin looks. It's like, looks like my dad and it really kills me.
That's hilarious.
I don't know how to feel.
It's okay. If we're comparing era 8 to era 9, two of more modern eras, mm-hmm. which gets the nod between 8 and 9?
It's tough.
That's really tough. It being like the start of the Trump years, I feel like I want to give it to era 9 because that like, I mean, SNL like got me. Like, remember the Dave Chappelle hosted episode like right after the election and,
yeah.
and Kate McKinnon on the piano? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like
Hallelujah.
I don't know. I feel like 8 is preparing us for 9.
I don't know. I kind of think 8, you still have like Hader and Hader's really still doing it well. And
well, that's the argument. Is 8 best of both worlds? Is it a little bit of 7 and a little bit of 9?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Right. Oh, good. Well put, Dan. Well
yeah.
put.
Yeah.
It's giving Hannah Montana.
even 8, I think it could have been not, it could have been his last season. But when Taryn does that, did you just say Gleiss?
Like, wait. You say Gleiss?
Gleiss? Like, like
it's not even a word.
Taryn towards the end of his run really like holds court and in a fun way.
He does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We have a lot to discuss at the end here, guys.
All right. Let's get into 10 and then I think we'll revisit. Yeah.
Final 10. I call this one Keenan and the Kids because it's just the stalwart and a lot of new folks, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the last 5 years. This is season 46 to 50. 2020 to 2025.
We got Bowen.
Yeah, Bowen.
Bowen comes on strong. Again, a bit transitional. You lose some people in the beginning part, AD and Kate and Cecily. I loved, we haven't mentioned her name yet. She's entered end of era 9, but earlier 10 as well. Melissa Villaseñor. Super underrated. I think she was always exceptional, especially on Update. Mm-hmm. But then you also get like, this is the era of like, we're going to throw a lot of people in these casts and see who works out. We're going to throw a lot of people into the pool and see who can swim. Whereas like when we're talking about like, you know, going back to era 7, that was a tight 10, 11 person cast. Mm-hmm. Now we're like fucking 18, 19 people in these casts. Like it's.
Yeah.
A breakout for this era is Sarah Sherman for me.
Totally.
Sarah Sherman.
Absolutely.
First off, why is it live?
Well, the name of the show is Saturday Night Live.
Don't you think? little scary, Colin. Anything could happen. I could have a nip slip right now.
Sarah, you're buttoned up to your neck.
You don't know where my nipples are.
Well, okay, I feel like I know where most people's nipples are.
Huh, do you? This just in, local pervert Colin Jost claims he's seen most people's nipples. Now back to you, Colin.
That's not what I meant.
And another thing, why is the show on so late? It's not even Saturday anymore, it's Sunday. You people are being lied to.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, the show starts on Saturday.
Wow. News, self-proclaimed nipple expert Colin Jost caught mansplaining live on television. Now back to you, Colin.
I would also put Jane Wickline in there. I know we've only had her for one season, but
yeah.
I also think Chloe Fineman jumps out in this era as well.
Mm-hmm.
James Austin Johnson is. A can do anything, like a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
And I think it was really awesome when he came on. But Bowen is the only one that I think has really, really memorable, unique characters, like Iceberg Bitch. Who didn't like Iceberg Bitch? No one.
Mm-hmm.
The boat hit me.
Yeah. Mudang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mudang is great. Season 47 is out of control, though. Look at all these people.
Yeah.
This is too much.
So many. That's the thing. No one can really get.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
No one can really get their shine, though, is the thing. When there's that many people, like, you don't have like the four or five or six that like really.
I know. The fact that 80 and Pete are still there is really kind of crazy, too. And Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's really wild.
We haven't mentioned Heidi Gardner. Heidi Gardner is excellent.
She's fantastic.
Heidi's great. Yeah, no. Yeah, Heidi holds the tone.
And I feel like Dismukes really comes into his own like the last 2 years.
Yep.
Like he was kind of just like there for a while, and now he's really like showing who he is and like his writing like on update.
Ego Wodum. Yeah. Like it's
a strong era. It's tough. These 8, 9, 10, it's really tough. And I don't know if any one of these will make it individually, but I feel like taken all together, it's like modern SNL, 8, 9, and 10, the last 15 years. I don't know how to splice it, though, as far as BFF is concerned.
I also think that with, you know, eras 8, 9, and 10, we still, the reason that it's so, that it feels a little bit easier for us to categorize the eras before is because we've had time, like time has passed.
Yeah.
I feel like not enough time has passed to really sit, especially like just thinking of, I think that SNL has been like super solid this season.
Season 50 has been great. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. But I also like there. I can't remember. I'm not really like a sketch isn't calling out. Well, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, one is. Oh my God. How could I not? Domingo, obviously.
Domingo.
For the ages. Never forgetting it.
Cutting the meat too is the one that sticks out.
I was just going to say Ego cutting the meat.
Oh God.
So fucking good.
I think Ego's good in everything.
She's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
But I know what you're saying. And I think I almost feel like the next five are going to be better for this crew than this five.
Yeah. Again, it's another transitional era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it feels like we're transitioning. It's like starting from maybe season 49.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
we're going to start to, I don't know. I feel like we're transitioning again.
Mm-hmm. It feels very high school. Like, you know, when you were like in ninth grade and you were like, oh, the seniors this year are amazing. And then the seniors the next year like sucked. And then the next year after that, it was like, the seniors are amazing again. It's just like, it takes time for people to. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't have the Please Don't Destroy crew in here. When does that
You're right.
That
they,
start?
They're in era 10.
Yeah. I can't remember what season they start, but
did they start season 48?
Because they never list them as cast or feature. That's always like, they'll just say a Please Don't Destroy film, but they're listed as writers.
Right.
Which is why they don't make the cast breakdown, but they are certainly era 10.
I actually would like to see them. I'd like to see them in more because I think they're really talented. Like even I'd like to see them in sketches because I when they hit to me, for me, like pretty high up there. Like some of the Please Don't Destroy sketches, I think, have been some of my favorite things of mm-hmm. this era.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like their Nepo sketch with Dakota Johnson. Brandy, what you were saying, though, about we haven't had the time to digest, I think that's why people love the eras that they've seen the best of, because mm-hmm. it's like most shows are going to be hit or miss. If it's like a sketch comedy show, or, you know, yeah. it's like once you cherry pick the ones that are like amazing and then you put them all in an anthology, it's like, well, of course that was the best year.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so you could do this with any of these eras.
You could do it with any era. Yeah. But we just haven't with these yet. Yeah.
Here's the thing, guys. This isn't the definitive list for all people. This is our list. The four of us
are
making this TV.
All opinions are our SNL own.
BFF. That's right. Okay. So if we're looking back, it feels like we have era one, the originals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a best, but probably not favorite or forever. Era four, Myers, Sandler, Farley, could be a best of favorite or forever. Era five, which is the late 90s, Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon, etc., could also be a best favorite or forever. Era seven, which was the new all-stars, that tight cast of 10, digital shorts takes off. So that's four to really discuss. And then if we want to throw in one of the newer eras, 8, 9, or 10. So we kind of have like the earliest, the most recent, and then three really solid ones in the middle. And where do we want to put these things?
I got it.
Is the question.
I want to put era seven in forever because of the Lonely Island of it all and Stefan. Can watch and Ooh. Listen to those forever. And Kristen Wiig, anything she was in, mm-hmm. and Maya Rudolph at that time.
I have that in my forever as well.
Nothing would make me more happy. It includes my season, and I would love to relive that over and over and over again. So if Brandy, if you agree, can we go era seven in forever?
I can agree. I had era seven in best, but I can also see it as forever. Like I love everyone. And the Lonely Island of it all really,
mm-hmm.
really gets it up there.
What's in your forever slot?
Era five.
I have five as my best.
Era five, so that's late 90s.
That's the Ferrell.
The Ferrell years.
I think that's like, you know, you could, if you only had one era to like study sketch comedy, mm-hmm. I kind of think you could get more mileage out of five than seven. That's why I kind of think critically acclaimed best.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a really interesting argument. And I was prepared to come back at you heavy with era one as the best. Because it feels weird to not have them in this criteria, to be quite honest. But I think you're right. Like, if you're studying sketch comedy, if you're studying character, if you're studying performance, it probably is more era five than era one. Yeah.
It's refined. It's more refined. That one is incredible. It's, you know, it's jazz, but it's, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's
no Miles Davis.
When we stand on the shoulders of giants, we do thank the giants, but technically we are higher up.
Yeah.
And I also think that, I mean, I get why era one could be considered a best, but I also think that era one like laid the groundwork for what the show could be. And so there should be a best one that comes after it.
I like that.
You know,
I agree.
You know what? You've swayed me.
Yeah. It's like how your parents are like, you always want your kids to be more successful than you are, or you like want your kid's life to be better than yours was.
Ooh.
Like they're like the parents.
So what's everyone's fave? I'm so curious.
Well, this is interesting. Like, so I think era four, the mm-hmm. Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley.
It's my fave.
Is probably on the leadership board, but then we also can't, I don't think we should discount the modern era. You know, like
we're not
era nine.
We love them.
We do love them. I'm throwing them in for the conversation.
They just don't have their box sets yet.
I had in my era four was my fave.
That's my fave.
Yeah, that's my fave.
But that was also going back to.
Wow.
That's really when I discovered SNL. It was during
I agree.
Era four.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And they bring the friendship.
And I could just go back to what, like, I feel like that's all the best ofs, right?
It is all the best ofs. That's right.
And Farley makes me happy.
He just like,
he really does.
It's what a fun guy.
I mean, yeah. Tragic and
yeah.
Yeah, he was having too much fun.
But I will say the sketch I've watched the most, we haven't said, is Matt Foley, motivational speaker. I've seen that sketch, I don't know, 57 times.
Mm-hmm.
Could be my fave.
You know, it might be my favorite sketch of all time.
Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now, let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river. Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat.
His falling montage in the physical comedy montage,
so good.
I so lost bad. My mind.
I was laughing.
And Molly falling too. But
yeah,
there's nothing like a Farley fall.
This is amazing.
Like when it, like when he like twists into a fall.
Ugh.
Another thing that I really loved about the SNL 50 is that SNL, I feel like, is still one of the only shows, one of the only things really, like, outside of football and HBO on Sunday nights that, like, we can still have a monoculture around.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This past weekend was big monoculture energy.
Mm. And this past weekend, it was just, like, I feel like everybody, and, like, the ratings were, like, through the roof. I mean, I personally watched this on Peacock, like, the day after, but, like...
that counts as ratings. That counts.
Still counts. Yeah.
And I also feel like SNL has done a really great job adapting to the new normal of how people consume content.
Mm. Always.
You know what I mean?
I think why it's tough for these current seasons is TikTok didn't exist during any other era. Mm. So we're inundated with so many jokes that you're just like... Like, they really have to push through and be special for their sketches to hit. Because most of the jokes leading up to the week, you've seen them on Twitter or TikTok or whatever. So it is harder for people in this.
Like,
era.
Everybody's already given their take.
They've already
By
said
the time
it.
SNL gives their take, it's like, we've heard the we've
Yeah,
heard the
it
takes.
Needs to be, yeah. like, extra right. unique.
Right. To recap, we have decided that the best era of SNL is season 21 to 25. Which is 1995 to 99, 2000.
Era 5.
Our favorite era is Era 4, which is season 16 through 20, which covers 1990 through the 94-95 season. And then our forever era is Era 7, which covers season 31 to 35. That is 2005 to the 2009-2010 season. Guys, I thought that we would have to expand the criteria, that would be too hard to pick three.
We crushed.
But to be honest, I think
we did it.
I think we killed it. I think we absolutely crushed it.
I'm about to go look up best of.
It's amazing what you could accomplish if you have four people that are of the same age.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been interesting to have an 18-year-old on and like a 65-year-old.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing that was so cool about the 50th special is they considered everyone, the whole viewership in that they made sketches for people who have been watching since the beginning. They made people who are only started last week. It was a very, very conscious.
Yeah. I mean, the Don't Look Back in Anger sketch, you know,
yeah.
the
oh my God.
The show, like absolutely incredible. Beautiful. So like
amazing.
Shout out to season one. I love it. I own the box set. I think about it all the time. None of these eras would happen without season one, but I think we landed on the BFFs. I think we landed on a solid three. I love
and
it.
Shout out to it. Season Now. We love you guys.
And Season Now as well. Exactly. No. Seasons Now and forward.
And forever.
I just have so much respect for everybody that works on SNL. Everybody that was a part of making SNL 50 happen. Like, wow, guys, you're seen.
Truly. I mean, that's the last thing I'll say is, you know, everyone always says SNL is, you know, Saturday Night Live dead. It's not as good as it used to be. That's a bunch of fucking bullshit. Watch episode 3 of Beyond SNL and what it takes to literally write and perform 90 minutes of sketch comedy when you write it all on Tuesday night and then rehearse it starting Friday They build the sets, they make the costumes, they do everything in fucking 5 days. It's the hardest show in the history of television, and that can't be ignored or discounted. It's the best show on the planet.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, you do it.
I did watch a lot of Mad TV, though.
Oh my God. That's another episode.
I would flip back and forth a lot, if I'm being honest. I did Hell flip yeah. back to it.
Wow.
And that's okay.
No, this isn't the place.
To end our SNL episode, but Mad TV. Guys, I love you all. This was so much fun.
Love
Thank you, Casey Jones.
For having
Thank
me.
You, Remy, Casimir, Brandy, as always. This has been fantastic. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, guys.
Bye. You've arrived here at the critical moment.